This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
Tonight we're talking about something that a lot of people feel, the so-called single tax. Are single people actually losing out financially compared to couples? From tax credits to mortgages and the real cost of going it alone in Ireland, we're getting into what people may not realise they're missing out on. Joining me today is Deirdre O'Keefe from birdie.ie, a bookkeeping and payroll expert who helps businesses stay financially on track every day. Deirdre, welcome back to iRadio's group chat. You work really closely with small businesses and employees. Are you noticing increasing financial pressure on single people compared to couples?
Well, I mean, I suppose it kind of goes without saying, you know, everyone is feeling the strain. And I don't tend to respond going, are you on your own or are you in a couple? But no, absolutely. I'm seeing it across the board. But yes, in particular, if you're single, I suppose it goes without saying you're one person, one income, and you don't get the beauty of sharing outgoing. So yeah, I suppose if we're to cast general net upon it, yes, I'm defo seeing the struggles amongst single people for sure.
I know people throw around the phrase single tax. From a financial and a tax perspective, is there actually truth behind that single tax?
No. Okay. So there is actually no official tax you'd be pleased to hear referred to as the single tax. You're not going to get a big penalty because you didn't hook up and decide to, you know, combine your taxes. But I think what people mean when they're talking about single tax is probably just the fact that when you're single, there's just a little less wiggle room with your taxes. It's all based on you, your own income. And, you know, you don't get the perceived, quote unquote, benefits as you would when you're married or in a civil partnership. So that is where your phrase single tax gets thrown around.
Talk me through the tax credits or the reliefs that married couples or cohabiting partners can get and can benefit from versus something that single people just can't access.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, first of all, I suppose the one important thing I should tackle there, it's actually really important that you did actually mention it, is the cohabiting couples. Okay. So in the eyes of the law and tax, there's no such thing as a cohabiting couple in the sense of there is no actual tax benefit to being cohabiting. If you're married, that's totally different. And if you're in a civil partnership, totally different. Again, you get to do the whole share your credits. So when you are married and in a civil partnership, you get the benefit of, obviously, you get to pool together your resources, your earnings, and you get to transfer credits and earnings bands amongst each other. So let's just go into a hypothetical scenario. Let's assume you're in a married couple. One of you might only work part-time, or maybe not, one doesn't even work at all. So normally we can all earn up to 44,000 euros before we start moving into the higher tax bracket. But when you're in a married and you obviously have to be jointly assessed, I suppose it's important to say you need to have elected for joint assessment, you get to transfer credits. So now the one worker in the marriage can earn up to 53,000 at the 20% rate before they then start going into the higher rate. But then they also get the benefit of they get to share the married tax credits. That's an instant, say, 2 grand saving potentially. So I suppose these are all what would be the quote unquote advantages to being jointly assessed when you are married or in a civil partnership. But can I bore you one more thing about what's really important to understand for the cohabiting? Because you probably know loads of people that aren't married that own a home together.
Absolutely. Loads. I mean, that's like the norm a lot of the time now.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Totally. Like, marriage is falling out of favour nowadays, you know, for whatever reason. I mean, who cares? None of us are here to judge. But the one major issue from a tax perspective, and I'm going to get super nerdy here, because I believe tax planning is really important for everyone to save yourself like potentially hundreds of thousands of euros. So I know you didn't get me on to talk about this today, and I won't go massively into it, but we have to think about things like capital taxes. Okay, so you know, you'd hear capital gains, capital acquisitions. If you are cohabiting with your girlfriend, your boyfriend, and you own a home together, and one of you dies, so then you will then obviously go to get the other half of the house. In the eyes of the law, you're actually deemed to be essentially strangers. So you will have to pay capital acquisitions tax on the benefit that you get in that other half of a house as if you were a stranger. So say if I give you a gift today, I can gift you up to 20,000 euros worth of stuff before you start getting taxed at 33%. Whereas if you were my wife and I transferred my house to you, there's nothing. There is no tax. So it's really important that people, I suppose, if they want to start massaging the system or using it to their advantage, maybe that's the one and only time I would ever say, maybe contemplate marriage. Otherwise, I don't think tax is a good enough reason to tie the knot, just as an FYI disclaimer.
It's just good information to have, isn't it? So everyone has
it's
the facts.
It's always good. Yes. That's all tax is ever about. It's not about making you an expert. It's just me putting something, a seed into somebody's head now that they might hear it in a few months or a few years and go, I remember somebody saying something, and that's all it takes. Then I've done my job.
Tell me, going back to people that are single or are working off one income, right? Yeah. Are there any tax credits or support specifically available for them over people that are married or in a partnership, a civil partnership?
Oh, no, unfortunately, there is nothing. There is no, I'm so sorry to break it to you. There is no.
I was so hopeful.
I'm so sorry. No, I wish then everyone would be single. No, unfortunately, it's not, because the, you know, revenue just don't feel like rewarding people. They barely reward married people anymore. It has changed a lot, but granted, I will admit there are more advantages to being so. Unfortunately, single people, there's no benefit. I'm sorry, except you get to be single. Enjoy
it. This is it. And it might not be that way forever. Hopefully not for
there
many
you go.
This is it.
There you
go. What are the biggest financial disadvantages then of trying to buy a home on one income in Ireland right now? Because it's fair to say quite a challenge.
A huge challenge. Yeah. Absolutely huge challenge. I mean, I don't even know. Forget about, let's not just focus on people living in Dublin. Countrywide, I mean, the house prices are just gone off the charts. And in order for you to save up this deposit is a nightmare, let alone try to approve, get mortgage approved. So obviously the first and foremost thing you have going against you is your earnings to the, you know, house price ratio. You're one person, and it's, if you can afford as a single person to go and walk in somewhere and get a mortgage, you are one of the lucky elite, in my opinion. So it's as simple as that. What the biggest problem is these days is salaries and income are just not going anywhere near house prices. So like, it's super, super tight for people. I don't know how they're doing it, to be completely honest.
Yeah, I've even heard of people that are maybe on their own or are looking to buy somewhere, because then there's that whole narrative, whether it's true or false, depending on the scenario, that buying is better than renting. And it's just, it seems to be money just doesn't go anywhere. You know, it's like, if it's not reflected. What practical financial steps should people be taking if they know they want to buy a home independently on their own one day and they are hoping to somehow be able to be one of those elite few, as you class them? What should they be doing now?
Okay, so I suppose if you are sort of planning, and if you are single today thinking about buying a house, you know what? Just assume you're going to be single in 5 years. Who knows what's going to happen? But for planning purposes, let's assume and let's get our game face on and start now planning early. So I always say to anybody, because I would have a lot of clients who are, say, perhaps sole traders who've only been in business a few years, ask me this very question, how will I get ready? Even though they know there's no house out there for them yet. So I always say is, number one is understand what are your commitments at the moment. And when I say your commitments, I mean the things you cannot avoid. I'm not talking about the luxury items. I'm talking about, let's sit down and plan. What are your commitments for running your car, the contingency stuff? What's your income? Let's do a realistic budget and say, right, how can I squirrel away at least a quarter to a third of my income in some sort of form of savings, so that we can show a bank down the line, look how good we are at being disciplined. And I don't mean maybe 50 quid one month and 300 the next month. I mean, stick to it, put the same amount in and really show the bank. You have to remember, a bank sees you purely as an investment. They don't care about you getting a house. They don't, you know, it means nothing to them. It's all an investment, and you need to look as basically as kind of appealing as possible. And if you're one person, they're putting all their eggs in one basket. So I always say to people, start planning, sit down, literally write down, what's your income? What are your outgoings? Can you save this amount in an account you can't touch? Make it so that you cannot touch it. And then keep your rainy day funds as well on the side. So always that. And also, let's start prepping for things. There's the Help to Buy scheme that's out there at the moment from revenue commissioners. It's going to run until 2029. It's amazing. You can get up to 30,000 euros from revenue that will help you towards getting your home. And it's all going to be based basically on your last 4 years tax records. So check the eligibility, see what you need to be doing in order that you tick that box. And then when the time comes, get applying. Like, it's 30,000 euros that you don't have to pay back. So that's a win.
Absolutely. I have heard people talking quite positively about that run until 2029 as well. Of course, what are some tax credits or reliefs that people commonly miss out that they can claim? This might be a helpful addition to all this if someone is now listening to us and has the fear of God that they'll never be able to afford anything again. Are they missing
I wish I could say you could afford a home. Listen, I'll put it to you, if I had to go buy a house tomorrow, I would struggle for sure. Okay, so tax credits, back to, I suppose, what I always kind of harp on about to people. It's still the same things being missed over and over and over. It's your basics. People are not holding on to their medical receipts, where you can literally walk into the chemist at the end of the year and say, hi, can you print me out literally one page showing all my prescription drugs that I've, you know, gotten over the year. So get those. Your GP, your x-rays, if you had to have any kind of orthodontics done, make sure you're claiming that. If you're working from home and you qualify, make sure you're claiming the working from home relief. And acquaint yourself with that list of credits that is on revenue.ie. When we go working, we're given two credits and that's it automatically. We get our single person tax credit, which is 2,000, and then we get our PAYE tax credit for working, which is 2,000. But there is an absolute sea of credits out there that potentially you could have people listening to you now that, yes, are single, but they may be a single parent. So there's a whole other credit that they can, you know, get. They may be a single parent that also happens to have an incapacitated child. So that's an extra two tax credits that they need to get in and get claiming. And it's all about basically making sure you acquaint yourself with it. Make sure you review your tax at the end of every year to ensure you haven't overpaid tax. And that, I find, is something people still have the fear of God about going in. They have this weird fear that it's like, back in 1999, where you're going to get told you owe a fortune. Those days, thankfully, have gone down massively thanks to PAYE real time. So just get claiming. Do not be afraid. And if you do happen to owe revenue money, they will never come and say, give it to me tomorrow or that's it. They will always do a deal and they could even spread it out over 4 years in your tax credits and you couldn't even feel it. It might be £2 a week. So don't worry about ever owing money. Don't.
I'm sure people will feel a little bit reassured, Deirdre, after hearing from you this evening, because you always see it as it is, but there is a lot of hope and optimism to be had that sometimes people miss. Where can we find you online if people want to hear more from you?
You can find me, I'm on Instagram, so I'm under at birdie.ie, so that's B-U-R-D-Y, or you can go and you can peruse my website if you're so inclined, but that's it. I'm mainly on Instagram, being all boring and into tax, but it's for everyone's advantage.
Everyone's advantage indeed. Deirdre, thank you so much for joining me on iRadio's group chat.
You're very welcome.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.